It's from James chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire was conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to spend a few moments looking at these verses from James chapter 1. And so if you'd like to have the sheets with you or the Bibles open, that would be really helpful. Let's pray as we hear what God is trying to say to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your good gifts to us, and we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak to each one of us now. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, today is a great day as we celebrate the precious gift of Esme Primrose. And even more than celebrating her safe arrival, we're praying and trusting that she will grow up to follow Jesus for herself. Now, she's starting out into a world full of great good. We've seen some of that great good this week. But it's also a world full of great suffering and great evil. And many things will come her way that may cause Esme and cause ourselves to doubt God's goodness, or even perhaps to doubt God's existence. Now, I was chatting to a man recently who said he used to believe in God. And I asked him, well, what happened? And he said, well, I believed in God and I went to church, but then my wife of 40 years died. And he said to me, I just couldn't believe that God would let her be taken from me. And he said, well, how can there be a God if he let that happen? Well, in our morning services, we're looking at this letter of James. This letter was written by Jesus' half-brother, who was called James. And the letter is written to Christians, followers of Jesus, who are having a hard time. And the first section of the letter, which we've been going through quite slowly, is all about how to keep following Jesus through the hard stuff that comes to us in this world. Now, if you've not been with us, or if you have been with us, let me just remind you of what we've been through the last few weeks. This is a previously in James section. So previously in James, we heard that we need to decide to respond to hard times with joy. Why? Because we know that the hard stuff is teaching us perseverance. God is working through it because God's goal is not our comfort, but our character, making us more like Jesus. Then we thought about wisdom, which I suggested was how we walk in suffering, desiring our maturity. How we walk through suffering, desiring to be more like Jesus. And we discovered that God single-mindedly desires to give us wisdom if we will single-mindedly ask for it. And then James applied that to the poor and the rich, and we were given a choice. Instead of looking at both our circumstances and at God, he was encouraging us to look at what we have in Jesus. So if you were somebody who had nothing, he wanted us to look at what we had in Jesus, which God had promised us so much in Jesus. But if we were somebody who had lots, James was encouraging us to look at how the message of Jesus shows us that without Jesus we are bankrupt. We have nothing to plead or to have pride in before God. And so he told us that blessing is not about having health and wealth and comfort and our little front room with the sofas and the TV. No, blessing was about persevering through trial and receiving the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And that brings us to today's section. Because I don't know about you, but keeping going with God can be really hard at times. And James, we just need to be clear, he knows what he's talking about. He said in verse 2 about trials of many kinds. He's talking about the times when, you know, all the trials come at once like the proverbial buses. And he's saying, how are you going to keep trusting God? Because when those hard times come, it's really tempting to doubt God's goodness. To think, is God really good? It's tempting to blame God and say, this is your fault, God. It's tempting to change God's words to make it easier to follow God. It's tempting to give up on God. And that's why James writes these verses that we're looking at this morning. Because he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Because God cannot be tempted by evil. God is never tempted to do anything wrong. And he never tempts anyone else to doubt him, to give up on him, to change his word, or to leave him. And today he gives us two different starting points, which give birth, as it were, to two very different results. And I think they're going to be very helpful for us as we think about what we're promising for Esme, as she's brought into this world that is full of so much good, but also full of so much pain and suffering. And the two starting points, well, the first starting point is this. It's me. You. Me, myself, I. I was talking this week to Rachel, our children's worker, and she'd been in a school, and it had a poster. I don't know whether it looked quite like this, but it had a poster that looked a bit like this. Or said this anyway. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. And that's sort of the culture we live in, isn't it? You can be whoever you want to be. You know, follow your desires, believe in yourself, and you can do whatever you want. Well, I accidentally started to do that last night. I wasn't meant to be, but I accidentally did, which I thought was actually quite ironic, given this is what I was meant to be preparing. Because I was meant to be preparing what I was saying today, but my desire was to keep checking the news. And, you know, to see what the latest was on the horrific tragedy at Grenfell Tower. And, you know, there's a part of me that's wanted to have a look at what the latest gut-wrenching photos were. But then I got a bit fed up with that. So then my desire was to check the sports pages, because I'm a man. And then I ended up checking the UFC mixed martial arts video feed. Don't know how I got onto that. But, you know, my desires ended up there instead of preparing this. James writes this. Each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Now, this is one of those sort of sit-up-and-take-notice bits of the Bible. It's a bit like those little signs you get on the outside of the electricity substations, danger of death. You know, they're there so that we go, oh, right, I won't climb over that fence after all. And this is here to make us to go, hang on a minute, this is important, this is serious. We need to take note. Because, yes, humanity is capable of great good. As I said, we've seen how, you know, communities have pulled together this week. But if our starting point for life is humanity, the result, says James, is catastrophic. Now let me explain what this is saying and then show you how this can look in practice, either individually or as a society. Because interestingly, if you read the original Greek of this, James doesn't put the word evil in the first sentence there. He just says, each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own desire and enticed. And James is making an even more profound point than we realise. Because let me explain. When we're doing our baptism preparation, I ask the parents, including Sally, what do you want for your child? And actually, the answers that come up are pretty much the same every time. What do we want? Love, comfort, security, health, a future. Now, who doesn't want those for their children? They're some of our deepest desires, aren't they? For love, for comfort, for health, for a good life. Now, so that you don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, none of those things are wrong in and of themselves. Okay? The problem is when we desire those things more than the God who gives us those things. So a few weeks ago, I used the example, you've probably been wondering why I had a scooter and a skateboard up here. I'm going to try this again, health and safety. You remember, we had a skateboard and we had a scooter. And I'm not going to do any tricks because I can't do them. But James talks about those who are double-minded. Hopefully this is sounding familiar. Because on the one hand, we might want God, and the scooter is going to represent God's way, because scooters are cool these days. And then on the other hand, we've got the skateboard that represents my desires. And I can get on the God scooter, and I can balance and do all that sort of thing. Don't copy me. But what often happens is we try to have a foot on both. And what is going to drag me away from God, actually, is my desire for other good things. My desires for love, for sexual satisfaction, for security, for health, for an easy life, for comfort. You know, part of me quite wants that little house with the leather sofas, the rug, the TV. And the danger is, you see, I can then decide I'm going to get off the scooter. I'm just going to go on the skateboard. And my desires for those things are pulling me away. And the problem is, once I'm on the skateboard, I'm now living as I want. You know, one of the things people say to me is, well, what's wrong with it? You know, if it feels good and it doesn't hurt anyone, why can't I just do it? You know, that's often people's motto. If it feels good, do it, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. But the problem is, once I'm on that skateboard just following my own desires, I'm living with me at the center. Who's in charge of my life? Me. And the Bible calls that sin. Now, these words of James here, they could describe what Adam and Eve did. They describe all of us, though, don't they? And sin is, James says, is like a spiritual cancer that if it's not dealt with, gives birth ultimately to death. Physical death and spiritual death. Now let me just give you a couple of individual examples. And if these particular examples resonate with anyone, it's not because I'm picking on you, okay? It's not because I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I really need to say this to this person. So it's more that I was putting them together last night. So let's introduce you to Cynthia. Apologies if anybody here is called Cynthia. She's offered a promotion at work. And it means that she'll get more pay and be able to afford the holidays in the sun she's always dreamed of. The only problem is that with this promotion means that she'll have to work on a Sunday. And she thinks, oh, that's okay. You know, I'll keep reading my Bible, I'll keep praying, but that's fine. But the only problem is that the desire for holidays is outweighing her desire to meet with God and his people. So she takes the job thinking, well, I'll be okay. I'll keep going as a Christian on my own. But what happens is that gradually work and holidays take over, and soon she's given up on God. That's Cynthia. That's what James is talking about here. Let's go for Bob, who's a bloke. Again, apologies if you're called Bob. This is a bit of a challenging one in one sense. You know, he's a bloke. He has natural sexual desire and urges. But instead of turning to God, he goes online and finds a video that satisfies that desire. And now what happens is he enters a spiral. Having fed the desire, the more he needs to satisfy it. The more he satisfies it, the more he needs to feed it. And Bob discovers that he needs increasingly risky videos to satisfy his desire. And what he's watching starts to affect Bob's character and the way he relates to women and the way he thinks about women. And yet all the time he's saying, it's okay. I'm a good bloke, really. I'm nice to my family. I'm doing all this other stuff that's good. But as someone has said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. James is crystal clear. Each person is tempted to give up on God, turn from God, when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Now the Bible is crystal clear again and again and again. If we start with me and my desire and what I want, and we walk down that path, it puts us on a collision course with the God who made us. And that ends in death spiritual and physical. Now that's true individually, but it's also true of our culture. I don't know whether you noticed, our society got rid of God a while ago, and humanism, which is the new name for atheism, makes humanity its starting point. The clue's in the name, humanism. Now, many atheists say they want to be atheists for rational reasons. Now, my aim is not to insult you. Some atheists are atheists for rational reasons. And if that's one of you, let me just tell you, you're wrong, but at least you've thought about it, and we can have an argument. But actually, most people who push God out of the way, push God out of the way because they want to live their own way. They want to follow their own desires, be masters of their own destiny, create themselves. Don't find yourself, create yourself. And it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But it's deadly, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. And you see that in our society. The individual is now king. We're told you need to create your own meaning. Search inside yourself and be yourself. Create your own truth. And we're even now told that your desires are what determine who you are. Your desires determine your gender. So you can self-identify as gender neutral, gender fluid, male, female, and the list is getting longer and longer. And because it's being shouted so loudly, not many people have the courage to say, the emperor's got no clothes on. Because the reality is our DNA, other than in extremely rare cases, is either XY or XX. We're male or female. And unsurprisingly, as the individual is now king, we're starting with people, with humanity, we're seeing the fragmentation of our culture, a descent into fear, into individualism. And people, have you noticed, we're no longer engaging in rational discussion. We're saying, you know, if it feels like you want to say it, say it. I don't know about you, but what people write on the internet, it can be horrific. You'd never say it face to face. Or maybe you would these days. But if it feels right, say it. And we live in a culture that says, follow your desires. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. And what James is saying this, if we as a culture, and if we individually have been tempted to give up on God, it's not God's fault. It's because of our own desire for other things. And James wants us to be honest, to be realistic. If we start with us and our desires, that's where we end up. Well, that's cheerful. I thought I was coming to a baptism celebration. Well, thankfully, James doesn't end there. That's one starting point. Because actually, there's another way, which is what we're celebrating today. It's what Sally and the godparents are committing to for Esme in a few minutes. Because the other starting point is to start with God. My wife and I, we're watching the series, The Man in the High Castle. Has anybody come across this? Tim. Right, Tim and I are just going to have a conversation. He recommended it, actually. You may not have come across it. I'm not going to explain it to you because it will take too long. But here's the thing. If you now joined my wife and I in watching it halfway through the series, you wouldn't have a clue what's going on. That's partly because I don't have a clue either. But if you want to know what's going on halfway through a series, you need to know what's going on at the start. The beginning enables you to see what's going on in the middle of the story. Well, here's the thing. If the beginning of the story of this universe is just the big bang out of nothing, then maybe we need to follow our desires, because what else is there? But Jesus and the Bible make it crystal clear there is another starting point. And it's a wonderful starting point. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. See, the other starting point is that there is a God who made the universe and the sun and the moon and the stars, what James calls the heavenly lights. And this God, unlike the sun, the moon and the stars and the universe, which are constantly changing and moving, does not change. And this unchanging good God is a good God who delights to give good gifts and only ever gives good gifts. We're told every good and perfect gift is from above, from this generous and good Creator. And that's partly why we're here today, to celebrate the very good and perfect gift of little Esme, who is being very good and perfect at the moment, which is wonderful. Whether she will be in a few minutes is another matter. But a friend of mine, shortly after my first daughter was born, she held her in her arms and, amazed at her, she said, "Isn't evolution amazing?" And I thought, no, isn't God amazing? And then I realized that my friend had blind faith. Because my friend literally believed that life came out of absolutely nothing. As if my daughter, you know, there was nothing at all, and then somehow the universe appeared out of nothing, and then from that came my daughter. And you look at the precious gift of a child, you know, life can't have come out of nothing. Well, the Bible makes it very clear, the gift of life comes from the God who is life. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And it's just worth thinking, everything that is good in your life, you could write a list. Everything that is good in my life, it's a gift from God. It's not ours by right, which is deeply humbling, it's a gift. God has given you all those things. But he's given you those things because in verse 18, James talks about the most precious gift of all from God that we are celebrating today. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, James here isn't talking about our physical birth, when we came out of our mother's womb, however way we came out. He's talking about something different. Because there's a big question, isn't there? How do we get out of that spiral of living for my desires that gives birth to sin, that gives birth to death? How do I get off the skateboard and get onto the scooter? How am I freed from the crushing burden of having to create myself and make my own truth and meaning? How is our society rescued from its descent into individualism and tribalism and insults and all that? And James says, there's this thing called the word of truth, that God is there and he's spoken. And he's spoken truthfully, and it's recorded for us in the Bible, and it's all about Jesus. And if we believe this word of truth, he gives us a new birth, which is a new start in life, where he takes us from being on the skateboard to being onto the scooter. And this new birth gives us a new creation, a new life. That means that we can be the people who God always intended us to be. Instead of following our own desires and ending up where we want to be, following him, which is what we were made for. In fact, there's great freedom in being the person we're made for. You know, if you've got an iPhone and you try and use it to paddle a boat with, A, it won't be ineffective, but then B, it will break your iPhone. You can't use your iPhone for whatever you want. You have to use it for what it's made for, and the apps are made for it. And God is offering us through Jesus, through his word, to remake us as the people he made us to be. And there's great freedom in that. And that's what Esme and the godparents will be committing to. Sally and the godparents will be committing to for Esme. They'll be saying, we want her to go God's way. We don't want her to follow her own desires. We want her to follow to God's desires. And baptism is a wonderful symbol of that. Now, we're not going to be dunking Esme. We're going to be sprinkling her with water. But it's a symbol of being washed, of a new start, of being fresh. That's probably something we can really associate with this weather, isn't it? You get to the end of the day when it's this warm. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, I get to the end of the day and I just need a shower. In fact, I get to about the middle of the day and I need a shower because I'm a bloke. But there's something nice about being fresh, about being new. And baptism is a symbol of that. No longer wanting to go my own desires, but wanting to go God's way and be remade as the person God made us to be with God at the centre. You see, in the next few decades, for little Esme, there's going to be lots that cause her to doubt God's goodness. There'll be lots that may cause her to blame God. Lots that cause her to want to change God's word. There will be lots that wants her to give up on God. That will be true for us as well. But she has a choice, just as we have. But her parents, Sally and her godparents, are committing to saying, we're going to make her, as much as is humanly possible, because ultimately it's a spiritual thing, as much as is humanly possible, lead her in the way that is God's way. That doesn't put her at the centre, that doesn't start with her, doesn't start with me, but starts with God. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own desire and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My friends, today, Esme's mum and godparents are deciding which way they want to pray that Esme will go. And they'll be standing up and saying they're choosing to go God's way. And it might be that some of us this morning, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, need to decide, actually, I need to stop just following my own desires. And I need to go God's way again. Or it may be that you're here this morning and actually this is the day when you think, actually, you know what? I need to take God seriously. Again? Or for the first time? Let's have a moment just to think about what you need to do.